You two do together a show called Rockin' the Vietnam War from the Delta to the DMZ. And I'd like each of you to pick out two or three songs that you think are particularly significant and tell us why.
We always need to put Hugo's Codicil on this, which is one that we always do in our class, and I frankly do in every presentation I make, and that is Vietnam was influenced by when you were there, where you were, and what you did. As Hugo pointed out before, if you were in the rear like I was in 1970 and 71, a relatively safe time when Vietnamization, Nixon's program had kicked in, and that was basically having the South Vietnamese take over more of the ground war, meaning that we were sending our troops home in the air-conditioned jungle as an army reporter, that had a world of difference on somebody who was maybe there the same time I did, but was carrying a rifle and had to still get involved in firefights, or somebody who was there a year before or a year after. But that said, I'm not just going to talk about the songs that were huge while I was there, but I'm going to mention some that continue to come back and sort of resonate. Among them, Sitting on Dock of the Bay. It's near and dear to my heart because Otis, unfortunately, is in Lake Monona, where I live in Madison, Wisconsin. That's where his plane went down, he and the Barquets, after they did an event here. He never lived to hear that song. It was the first posthumous number one song ever and one of the most popular. What is striking about that song is just how a number of vets talked to us about being in San Francisco. A lot of us left, and in fact, a lot of guys sailed to Vietnam in the early years. But just that notion of 2,000 miles from home, I'm going to make this dock my home. Just sort of that leaving, that longing, that not wanting to go, wanting to sort of be connected back to their roots was a really, really strong and powerful message. And of course, the sad thing was Otis never lived to see that song popularized. And he had agreed with President Hubert Humphrey just before he died, not a lot of people know this, that he agreed to go to Vietnam and perform. And had Otis Redding lived, he not only, I think, would have gone on to have been one of the all-time great performers and artists of all time, but he would have been in Vietnam. He would have been able to talk to us about that experience and what he saw, as James Brown did later when he was there. Two other ones I'll mention quickly. One that was never on my radar, I never would have listened to, I knew nothing about, is a song by a guy named Bobby Bear called Detroit City. There is a refrain in that song, "I want to go home, I want to go home, Lord, how I want to go home." The first time I ever heard that was in an enlisted man's club in Vietnam on the jukebox when a guy put it on. And of course, my first reaction was, oh my God, a country song, I don't want to hear it. But before long, everybody in the bar was singing along, had their arms around each other. It got to be a really popular song with all of us. It's one that keeps getting mentioned over and over again. Hugo probably knows better than I do. I think it came out like in 1966. Bobby Bear had a couple other country hits. People know of him. It's Bare. I had no idea. And even though that song had its moments for me when I was there, I forgot about it until I started to talk to vets about, well, what song has sort of stuck with you or what takes you back? Detroit City is that song. And then, of course, the real transcendent power, We Gotta Get Out of This Place, which has a wonderful, fantastic story behind it, written by the Brill Building folks, Cynthia Weil and Barry Mann, intended to be recorded by the Righteous Brothers. Imagine their surprise when somebody later, Alan Klein, in fact, who was the manager of the Animals, presents them with a record that they think is going to be something that they remember that they wrote, that ends up getting recorded by this British group, the Animals, that Cynthia and Barry had intended for the Righteous Brothers, for this whole sort of get out of the ghetto kind of angst with the Phil Spector wall of sound behind it, turns out to be a different kind of song in the hands of these bruising sort of working class types who want to get out of the place they're in.
Newcastle.
Newcastle. In England, becomes this incredible thing because of the power of that, we got to get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we got to get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life. And we used to change the last line when I was there singing it. This is now 1970 and 71. There's a better life in the USA. But we've had many people tell us, especially anybody who was there after that song was popular from 65 on, especially the later years, that that's the Vietnam Vets National Anthem. It's a song
Cannot
that was not
agree more.
intended to be that way. In fact, it was harsh feelings for years between Cynthia Weil and Barry Mann and Eric Burden and the Animals. I think things have calmed down a little, but it's played at every Vietnam vet reunion, and it has got some incredible stage power.
When I do presentations for Vietnam Veterans of America lodges, the only song that they insist must be in the playlist is "We Got to Get Out of This Place." I would add that "Leaving on a Jet Plane" by Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Written by John Denver.
Yes.
Written by John Denver, and the meaning is very different.
Correct.
For John Denver, who wrote it, but
yep.
It's not the song in its entirety. It's a line or two, or it's a chorus, just like "We Got to Get Out of This Place" is about a couple of teenagers trying to escape the slums. But in Vietnam, the chorus was what got people revved up. Just the notion of leaving on a freedom bird was absolutely the culmination of that 365 days when your date of departure was determined. You were waiting to leave on that jet plane.
Yeah, and Hugo, conversely, when we've done that, especially with a lot of wives, they start tearing up at that, and they remember it from the departure, having to take their husband or boyfriend at the time to the airport to say goodbye. Yeah, you're absolutely right, and it stuck with both parties. That song, it's one of the most frequently mentioned songs by Vietnam vets.
One of the songs that is most important to me, and I've already mentioned it, was banned from the American Forces Vietnam Network, and that was Barry McGuire's "Eve of Destruction." But it's one that I include in every presentation, if for no other reason than a couple of weeks after it came out, there was an answer song called "Dawn of Correction" by a group called The Spokesman. It was never a major player, but to me it was important that one of the first songs that was clearly identified with the war really garnered an answer song that split in opinion on should we be there, was this good, was this bad. Musically, it became clear very early that there would be differences of opinion on the war. So that's one that I would include. Edwin Starr's "War, What Is It Good For?" It outlived the Vietnam era. Springsteen did a very powerful version of it when he said to his audience, "Look around you because you could be going." When Springsteen, I think that was in the early 80s, it was the Middle East, which was a possible place for people to be going to war. And it still wasn't a good idea to become part of that. A song that I remember hearing regularly, and I was there in 70, 71, was "Yellow River" by Christy. And another one about,
yeah.
I'm packing
one
up
hit wonder.
Getting ready to go. The overriding theme that was on people's minds was, I want to get out of this place. So if it was "Leaving on a Jet Plane," if it was "We Got to Get Out of This Place," if it was "Yellow River," the themes were the same. Let me get home safely.